people for allowing me the opportunity to speak. Having said that, it isn't an easy passage. In the meaning of Zechariah 14, he predicts all sorts of things, particularly starting off with what will happen in AD 70. And in the same breath, he talks about what will happen at the end of time with Judgment Day when God comes back. And then he goes back and talks about the Feast of Tabernacles and talks of mines in Egypt. And then he talks about, in the times of Uzziah. So basically, he's taking all of history and putting it into a blender. And you really don't know if you're in the time, in the DeLorean time traveling machine or what. So let me try and unpick some of this and see what comes out. The context is that, you know, God's punished them because they've rebelled against him and they've taken the land. God's taken away their land. You know, by the Riders of Babylon where we sat down, we remembered Zion. So now, even though they're still under the boot of Babylon, they've come back and they've got permission to rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the walls and the houses and the temple. And the trick or the problem, conundrum, is that everyone seems to be wanting to build their own houses and the wall because of the adversities of the other nations. But Zechariah is saying, let's rebuild the temple first. Okay? This is a statement of hope and putting God first. Okay? If we put God first, then if God becomes our security, everything else will follow. Don't get slaughtered, don't get discouraged. God is on the throne, and he wants you to take a leap of faith, put your faith into action, and build the temple first. And so I've entitled this Faith is a Verb. Because I know when my bank account's getting low, I get an impression that God wants me to give generously and sacrificially to last case situation was the project in Afghanistan. So with tears. So I felt under, maybe I don't, because logic says I don't have a lot of money at the moment. But God sometimes says, just trust me, have faith. Spite of circumstances. And my theory is, and I think it comes from the Bible, well, I'm pretty sure it does, that right practice leads to right belief, not just the other way around. So if I was translating Zechariah 14 to the people of those days, this is what I'm trying to say. And maybe you can see some relevance. Just remember that while there's opposition to you rebuilding the temple, then God will defeat evil in you. He is above and beyond all of this. Even though there will be terrible opposition, Jerusalem will fall eventually. And you can pick that up in verse 1 and 2. But God will provide an escape route. Evil will knock itself out. Evil will be undone. God will defeat his enemies, verse 2 and 3. And although God is really Lord, he will be Lord and boss of all things, political, social, economic, spiritual, and environmental, one day. A day is coming that he will be the only boss in reality. God will live with his people in his land, and and his kingdom will never end. Verse 10 and 11. Remember when God rescued the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt? Remember when he intervened with the earthquake in King Uzziah's day? God will do this again in the future. We live in the desert after we've got out of Egypt, but we still haven't reached the promised land. We're building temporary tents like the children of Israel did, but we haven't got there yet. That's us. We live in the in-between period, in the twilight zone, between night and when the day breaks into the dawn, into the new day. So let's celebrate and have hope because the children of Israel got to the promised land. And the new day is coming. And God will prove that he is Lord of all things. So let's live as if that's the case. Let's build the temple. Work is sacred. It's a spiritual act, right? Remember the bells and the horses, right? Cooking is a spiritual act. I've made all things sacred, okay? Act as if I've already made all things new, and in doing so, you'll make them reality. So that's my take on it. Let me just, three things I'll get out of that. First of all, faith is a verb. Yes, I know there's been a strong opposition to you rebuilding the temple, and you're under constant threat and thwarted on every level. It feels like opposition is strong and threats are huge. But if you guys are serious about your faith, let's build the temple first. Seek God first. In Luke thinking, what you think and feel, actually produces action, right? But in the Hebrew way of thinking, what you do actually influences what you think and feel. So Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay? So do it. Just do it. I've stolen that tonight, but I believe that as I read the Bible, you know, even in that verse where Jesus says in the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, but they will receive mercy. And I believe that you learn about Jesus when you start following him. I remember one time I was a youth worker. I didn't even know. It was advertised as a youth worker for the city of Wanneroo. Wanneroo, that's right. I can remember that. Became a youth worker, and it was me, a youth worker in Heroin, Dillon, Valley. I thought, oh, here I went to Bill Bell's, brought up a fairly middle class church and environment, and I was working with Aboriginal kids that steal your house, and break into your homes, and all of them, not just Aboriginal kids, but other kids as well. So I was thrown into the deep end, and I remember one time these kids were in the back of my car, and I was trying to help them understand that God loved them, and that they had meaning and purpose in life, and that they shouldn't do what they're doing, and they shouldn't make money. Well, I was getting nowhere. They weren't listening to me, and they wanted me to stop in baseball. So I stopped in baseball, and they all got out. And as I began praying, and I began crying for them, because their lives were very, very much their problems really got to me. And so I began to cry and pray, and I put my head on the steering wheel. And I'm strangely kind of aware that there was someone else in the car. And as I looked around, there was a young Aboriginal girl who hadn't got out, with tears streaming down her face. And I want to let you know that I felt the presence of God with me right then. I felt tingles all over. It was as if God was looking at Jesus and looking at me. And I believe that I saw Jesus in Christ. And in fact, he says, if you give it to the least of them, so by taking that risk, getting out of my comfort zone, putting my faith into practice, I believe I was blessed and my health was changed as that happened. Love is about sacrifice. Faith is about sacrifice. We come closer to God when we live out our lives in a sacrifice and denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following churches. Faith is a doing, but faith is a doing. Second point is that when we say God reigns and God rules, that's actually a faith statement. In many ways, it seems crazy to utter these words, God rules. It may have been, it was saying in Zechariah's day, when you're under the boot of the Babylonians, and you know that you're only there rebuilding the city because the Babylonian king had the permission. Today, it's obvious that God's kingdom is not in totality. It's poverty, war, famine, corruption. And in the Lord's Prayer, we're asked to pray, may your name be known, may your kingdom come. Why? Because it's not. And we long for that. We live in the intertwined. If you are finding it hard to trust God, look at, or anyone really, look at what's happened in the past. Look at what they've been in the past. Look at what they've done in the past. I remember, on a bit of a side note, I remember trying to make an important decision about whether I marry Erin. And I saw that she worked with disabled people with mental illness. And she made a decision because she said, it's easy to love people who need mercy. It's harder to love people who are nasty. So she joined prison fellowship. She thought, who are the nastiest people in prison? I'll see if I can love them with God's love. I'll see if, you know, and she put herself on the edge. So I thought, you know, that was one of the decisive factors of me marrying her, because I could see what she was and what her track record was, and I used that to project into the future, you know, her trajectory. So in the same way, if you're finding it hard to trust God, look back. What's God been like in the past? Well, he's chiseled it out in the history of time. He's proved himself beyond the reasonable doubt. He rules. Remember Egypt? I can just imagine two Hebrew neighbors on the night on the eve of Passover. One of them says to the other, you know, tonight I'm not going to sleep at all. I'm going to plaster that blood all over the doorposts. I'm going to look at my oldest child and I'm going to stay with a candle all night. Make sure he doesn't die. You know, because I'm really worried, I'm really anxious, and I don't have a lot of faith in God. I'm worried, I'm going to splatter all of that. And he goes, what are you going to do? And the lady says, you know, I'm just going to do all those things I've been told to do, but I'm going to sleep on the bed. Now, which one of those two people did God say? Both. You know, our faith is not in our faith. Faith is in God who is dependable. You've got to believe that. God loves you no matter what. God's there no matter what. In spite of the opposition, in spite of the circumstances. And even more, this side of the resurrection, we know that God eventually wins. So live like that. Last point. First, I'm just remind myself. Faith is a verb. God rules is a faith statement. Lastly, be joyful in putting your faith into action. Joyful faith in action. We are going to be. This kingdom will come. And the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of God. And we will share in the joy if we share in the blood, sweat, and tears. So the Bible says in verse 21 and 22, celebrate. Celebrate that he is king over all things. And it talks about, I think, a separation or a breakdown. Oh, thank you. Is that for me? You rock. Thank you. That's exactly what I meant. There's no separation between sacred and secular. That your workhorses are to be holy to the Lord. Your cooking pots are to be holy to the Lord. And one of the problems is the Pharisees are good at dividing sacred and secular. Jesus' life is about all things. And remember when the temple curtain was ripped in two, he was basically saying all of life as well as lots of other things. He was saying all of life is sacred. I am Lord of all things. From changing, when you're changing nappies or cooking a meal, all of that is sacred. Or working in the church, all of this is to the glory of God. I remember once I met a guy in South India, and he was amazing. His name is Paulus, and he was a doctor. And he had set up hospices and for people with HIV. And he'd gotten the church to be involved with people with HIV, and many thousands of people were becoming Christians because of because they were faced at their death's door. Many families of people with HIV were in the ministry. And I said to him, how did you start this work? And he said, I was a doctor who didn't care about the poor or about God, and I was on my lunch break, and it was the 80s, and HIV epidemic was, you know, at its, it just began, and everyone was scared. He said, I went into a time, a chai shop, and people thought, suspected a guy with HIV, and they started throwing glasses at their cups at him. He said, I stood in between and picked up, because I was on my lunch break, I had my doctor's appointment. I picked up his glass, and I took a drink from his glass, and then people realised that it wasn't infectious. Okay? And people stopped and put their glasses down, and I then got a hold of my mouth and said, I want you to start a hospice all over the place in India for people with HIV. And he did that. And I thought, my goodness, what God has taken something that would have seemed secular job and turned it into an incredible holy ministry for the glory of God. And obviously it's his kingdom to build, but we have been, God's given us the privilege of being his co-workers. It's like, I remember one day I had a job in the garden to do, and I knew it would take a couple of hours, but my kids were small and they wanted to help me, and they dug up the flowers and they, you know, dug up the wrong things, and it took a job that would have taken me 2 hours, probably took me four. But I didn't mind because I was doing it with my kids. And I think that's a bit like God. God could create his kingdom overnight, like that, no worries. But he chooses to use us because he wants to enjoy our relationship with him as we seek to make his kingdom come and glory be done. But it will come. In Isaiah, in Zechariah 9:14, but he said, one beautiful one is we are prisoners of hope. Even though it feels like I want to escape and say it's all hopeless, it's all God to save, and it's all, we are prisoners of hope because of what Jesus has done. And the last reference to Jesus, I don't know if you know this in the Bible, is that in Revelation 21, is that the last chapter? 22? No, there's no. And it says that he is the star of the star of the morning is Venus. It comes up in the height of the darkness. But from then on, it becomes morning and becomes light. And for me, that's very hopeful, that God is about absorbing and pulling the darkness into himself and pushing the darkness inside, pulling the light towards him. So, love the unlovable. Set up homes for the homeless, the refugees. Give bread to the hungry. Open the homes to them. Be people of peace in a war zone like Afghanistan. Beat your guns and swords in the garden tools that didn't be before. Plant community gardens and tell people about Jesus. Am I ringing any bells? I believe we can put our faith into practice right here in Bondage. And we can be signs of God's kingdom. Sometimes it's not essentially what you do, it's how you do it. You do small things, lots of love over long haul, you can make an incredible difference. And bring this world, this new world, this dream that's going to break into our nightmare. Faith is the courage to put God's values into practice in spite of feelings, oppositions, or bank balances. Faith is a different word. I'm tempted to pray. Is that okay? Lord Jesus, I pray that you help us to figure out in the next little while what that next step is for us in our faith commitment to you. Lord, we want to be your people. We want to, but we are scared. We get scared. And there's this fear that happens. So work against our fear and help us to balance our fear at the end of our lives. Help us not to look back and say, well, I didn't take that step, but I was too afraid. Help Help us to remind ourselves that you are coming and you will be coming. And that all authorities, whether it's Coca-Cola or GMH or all different authorities and powers, all companies, all people will surrender to you and so help us to believe that.
Stand with me as we sing our next song together. There is no other.
There is no other name in heaven can be found through whom we are redeemed. Through whom your grace abounds, no other name can save but Jesus Christ our Lord. My joy in sorrow's tears, in heaven can be found. Through whom we are redeemed, through whom your grace abounds. No other name can save but Jesus Christ our Lord. My joy in sorrow's tears, my strength to cast out fears. No other name but Jesus, Jesus. Our hope in God is blood. There is no victory but Jesus' crucified. No other cure for sin but that our Savior died. No other hope we have but that He rose again. No other name but Jesus, Jesus. My hope in darkness night, my broken soul's in life. No other name but Jesus, Jesus. But worthy is the Lamb who was for sinners slain, when every knee shall bow and tongue confess you are Lord. You are Lord. My joy is sorrows near. My strength to cast my fears. No other name but Jesus, Jesus. My hope in darkest night, my broken soul's delight. No other name but Jesus, Jesus.
Please sit down. Let's pray. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens.
Accept your glory above the earth.
Keep our nation under your care.
And guide us in justice and truth.
Let your way be known on earth.
Your saving power among all nations.
Send out your light and your truth.
That we may tell of your standing works.
Have mercy on the poor and the oppressed.
Hear the cry of those in need.
Hear our prayers, O Lord.
For we put our trust in you.
God, our Father, we can approach you because you've forgiven our sins. We pray that your world would know and honor your name. Bring the day when your name is the only name. And in the meantime, let an attitude of forgiveness be the fuel for a fire of reconciliation in your life. Many people are hurting because folk they love have died. Comfort them, our Father. Amen. God, our Father, the church is the body of Jesus Christ, and you raised from the dead. Make your church living water flowing out in Christ. Make your church holy.
Especially, Lord, for your people who have been serving you in places of sickness, especially in our government. Give them the courage, Lord, to
God, our Father, we are your children. We are like toddlers gathered into the strong arms of their dad at the end of the day. Help us to trust you. Many of us are sick or struggling along. Heal us and bring us to wholeness.
Dear Lord Jesus, we ask now that you be with the trucking down on the highway. Lord, we pray that you would look to revive the people we needed, to revive the trucking of your Lord. We pray, Lord, that you be with those drivers down on the road, especially the fellow doing the interstate work, Lord. We're going to east to west, and back and forth, Lord Jesus, and our learning trip. We pray, Lord, that God, and keep them safe, both physically and spiritually, as they go about their work right now. In Jesus' name we ask, Amen.
Let's pray that you both pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Let's stand and sing our final song together. And this will also be an opportunity for you to give generously towards the work of the gospel in this community.
How he left his home in glory.
Starting a series in the letters to the Thessalonians, so 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So that would be also a good thing to do with your Bible reading time, is to be starting to familiarize yourself with 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So please do that. Could we get any birthdays? No? Has anyone got a birthday we missed? Happy birthday, so. Happy Mother's Day!
Sally, birthday!
Oh, it was Sally, that's right.
Thank you.